Let me talk about Thanksgiving today. I'm going to take a break from the book of Jude until January. There are four levels of life when it comes to Thanksgiving, probably represented here among us this morning. First, there are those people who are constantly complaining. Show of hands. Oh, Tom, come on. No, not you. They can't find good in anything. So let me tell you a story about him. Well, maybe not. About somebody. A woman was married to a man like that. He never could be pleased. How are we doing? We're good? Okay. All right. She said, "Sweetheart, what would you like for breakfast? I'll fix you anything you would like. What would you like?" He said, "All right, I want 2 pieces of toast. I want 1 whole wheat and 1 white. I want the whole wheat buttered lightly and nothing on the white bread. And I want 2 eggs. I want 1 fried over easy and I want the other scrambled. You got it?" She said, "I got it, sweetheart." She fixed him breakfast just like he requested. But while he was eating, he looked a little sour. And she said, "Darling, what's wrong?" And he said, "You scrambled the wrong egg." Shame on you over there. Well, some people you just can't please at all. They're going to complain. Category number 2 are people that are just ungrateful. Maybe they don't complain. They're just not grateful. They're like the buck in the middle of Greenbrier Trail this morning out there eating the oak tree acorns, disregarding where they're coming from, disregarding pastors driving to church, just standing there. Well, some people never really pay attention to much at all. They're not really complaining, but they're ungrateful. Third category, there is another level of those who are grateful for their obvious blessings. If they have health, they're grateful, and maybe occasionally they even thank God for their health. If they have wealth, you can tell they're grateful because they tithe 30% to the church. Oh, wait, I'm kidding. That never happens. If they have food, they enjoy it. And they may even thank God, praying before they eat, thanking God for the obvious blessings of life. I remember as a child, teenager, we'd sit around the kitchen table, dining room table, and every meal, my father would pick who prayed for the meal. He never prayed himself. He never went to church. He was not a Christian. But he would pick which one of us, mom or my 3 sisters or me, and he is pretty fair about it. Finally, one day we ganged up on Dad and we said, "No, it's your turn, Dad." He said the sweetest prayer I still remember. I'm not going to repeat it, but it was probably something he had heard from childhood in his unchristian home, but just the sweetest prayer of thanksgiving for the food. Well, some people are obvious about some blessings and are grateful. But the highest level, the biblical level, is the level of not complaining, not shrugging in ingratitude, not even thankful for obvious blessing, but it says in Ephesians 5:20, always giving thanks for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. People that are giving thanks. That's the attitude that I hope we will have this coming week, regardless of trying circumstances or even irritating people like I was to Joe for a couple of nights when I showed up. But there's a legend of a man who found the barn where the devil kept his seed, which he would sow in the hearts of the lives of human beings. This man found the barn and he went in and he found a superabundance of the seed of discouragement. When the man asked the devil why he had so many seeds of discouragement, he said, "If I can get someone discouraged, if I can get that seed of discouragement into a person's life, then I can get almost anything else that I want into that life." He said, "I have found that the seeds of discouragement will sprout almost anywhere except in the heart of a grateful person. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father." As we come to Thanksgiving week, let me remind you that Thanksgiving and Christmas are Christian holidays. They're not secular. They are Christian. It was started by Christians who were fleeing religious persecution in England and Europe. And I hope that we as families have a wonderful day together, but remembering our God in Thanksgiving. When we think about the history of Thanksgiving, we typically picture the Puritans. We picture the Pilgrims at the first Thanksgiving. That's a major part of Thanksgiving history. But there was more to this picture than what we may know about. William Bradford wrote the history of the Plymouth Plantation. And in that, Bradford explains that the Pilgrims had endured a terrible drought for months. Here's what he writes. "Upon which they set a part of solemn day of humiliation to seek the Lord by humble and fervent prayer in this great distress. And he was pleased to give them a gracious and speedy answer, both to their own and the Indians' admiration that lived among us. For all the morning and the greatest part of the day, it was clear weather and very hot, and not a cloud or any sign of rain to be seen. Yet toward the evening, it began to overcast, and shortly after to rain with such sweet and gentle showers as gave them cause of rejoicing and blessing God. It came without either wind or thunder or any violence, and by degree in yet abundance, as the earth was thoroughly wet and soaked, which did so apparently revive and quicken the decaying corn and other fruits, as was wonderful to see, and made the Indians astonished to behold. And afterwards the Lord sent them such seasonable showers with interchange of fair warm weather as though his blessing caused a fruitful and liberal harvest to their no small comfort and rejoicing, for which mercy in times of convenience they also set apart a day of thanksgiving." Thanksgiving started because of God's divine intervention with these pilgrims. The pilgrims' inaugural Thanksgiving in 1621 was followed by national Thanksgiving celebrations. Early in our nation's history, Congress, it wasn't about Republicans and Democrat back then. It wasn't about the House and the Senate and the presidency. It was about God. Early, Congress sometimes appointed more than one Thanksgiving in a given year. That's because they were not meant to be days simply of turkey feasting. They were rather days of prayer. In fact, virtually every early Thanksgiving proclamation includes calls to prayer along with fasting and corporate worship and confession of sin. The majority of presidents, from George Washington all the way to the present, have made Thanksgiving Day proclamations pointing to the Christian triune God as our ultimate source of blessing. I have some of those briefly that I'm going to read to you. 1775, the Continental Congress. And it is recommended to Christians of all denominations to assemble for public worship and to abstain from servile labor and recreations on this said day. In 1776, again, therefore the Congress hereby resolve that it be recommended to all the states as soon as possible to appoint a day of solemn feasting and humiliation, to implore Almighty God the forgiveness of the many sins prevailing among our ranks, and to beg the countenance and assistance of His providence in the protection of this just and necessary war. Congress, in the midst of war, the Revolutionary War, focused on God. In 1778, it is resolved that it be recommended to the United States of America to set apart Wednesday, the 22nd day of April next, to be observed as a day of fasting, humiliation, and prayer, that at one time and with one voice, the inhabitants may acknowledge the righteous dispensations of divine providence and confess their iniquities and transgressions for which the land mourns. Incredible. Coming from Congress. 1779, resolved that it be recommended to the several states to appoint Thursday, the 9th of December next, to be a day of public and solemn thanksgiving to Almighty God for His mercies and prayer for the continuance of His favor and protection to these United States, to beseech Him that He would be graciously pleased to influence our public councils and bless them with wisdom from on high, with unanimity, firmness, and success. Thomas Jefferson wrote in 1779, "I do therefore, by authority from the General Assembly, issue this my proclamation, hereby appointing Thursday, the 9th day of December next, a day of public and solemn thanksgiving and prayer to Almighty God." Thanksgiving and prayer. "Earnestly recommending to all the good people of this Commonwealth to set apart the said day for those purposes, and to the several ministers of religion to meet their respective societies thereon, to assist them in their prayers, edify them with their discourses, and generally to perform the sacred duties of their function proper for the occasion." George Washington, 1789, said, "By the President of the United States of America, a proclamation, whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, and to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor, whereas both houses of Congress have by their joint committee requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed, acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peacefully to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November next, to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, and that will be. That as we may all unite in rendering unto him our sincere and humble thanks for his kind care and protection of the people of this country, previous to their becoming a nation, for the signal and manifest mercies and the favorable interpositions of his providence, which we experienced in the course and conclusion of the late war, for the great degree of tranquility, union, and plenty, which we have since enjoyed, for the peaceable and rational manner in which we have been enabled to establish constitutions of government for our safety and happiness, and particularly the national one, speaking of God, now lately instituted, for the civil and religious liberty with which we are blessed, and the means we have of acquiring and diffusing useful knowledge, and in general, for all the great and various favors which he has been pleased to confer upon us, and also that we may then unite in most humbly offering our prayers and supplications to the great Lord and ruler of nations, and beseech him to pardon our national and other transgressions, to enable us all, whether in public or private, to perform our several relative duties properly and punctually, to render our national government a blessing to all the people by constantly being a government of wise, just, and constitutional laws, discreetly and faithfully executed and obeyed, to protect and guide all sovereigns and nations, especially such as have shown kindness unto us, and to bless them with good government, peace, and accord, and to promote the knowledge and the practice of true religion and virtue, and the increase of science among them and us, and generally to grant unto all mankind such a degree of temporal prosperity as he alone knows to be best. Given under my hand at the city of New York, the third day of October, 1789. Now I had pictures, Thomas Jefferson, George Washington. John Hancock wrote this in 1791. In consideration of the many undeserved blessings conferred upon us by God, the Father of all mercies, it becomes us not only in our private and usual devotion, presidents of the United States having quiet times at the founding of our country, it's incredible to think about, to express our obligations to him as well as our dependence upon him, but also specifically to set a part of a day to be employed for this great and important purpose. That Thanksgiving proclamation was October 5th, 1791. What about John Adams? 1799. I do hereby recommend accordingly that Thursday, the 25th day of April, next. How come the IRS got the April date? I don't know. That's just a random question. Anyway, they celebrated it more than once a year, November, December, or in the spring. I do hereby recommend accordingly that Thursday, the 25th day of April next, be observed throughout the United States of America as a day of solemn humiliation, fasting, and prayer. That the citizens on that day abstain as far as from their secular occupations, devote the time to the sacred duties of religion in public and in private. Pretty incredible. 1813, James Madison. I do therefore issue this my proclamation, recommending to all who shall be piously disposed to unite their hearts and voices in addressing the one and the same, at the one and the same time, their vows and adorations to the great parent and sovereign of the universe, that they assemble on the second Thursday of September next in their respective religious congregations to render him thanks for the many blessings he has bestowed on the people of the United States. Well, I've listed a bunch of men, but what about women? Did they have anything to do with Thanksgiving? Sure, they made turkeys, right? Cranberry casseroles, all kinds of stuff. No, they did more than that. In 1852, Mrs. Sarah Hale, she is given much of the credit for making Thanksgiving a national holiday. She was the editor of Godet's Ladies' Book, a popular magazine containing poetry and artwork and articles by America's leading authors. She persistently campaigned for 20 years or more for an established national Thanksgiving, such as she wrote in 1852. She said the American people have two particular festivals, each connected with their history, and therefore of great importance in giving power and distinction to their nationality. The 4th of July is the exponent of independence and civil freedom. Thanksgiving Day is the national pledge of Christian faith in God and acknowledging him as the dispenser of blessings. These two festivals should be joyfully and universally observed throughout our whole country and thus incorporated in our habits of thought as inseparable from American life. For two decades, Mrs. Hale promoted the idea of a National Thanksgiving Day, writing president after president after president, until Abraham Lincoln eventually responded to this persistence in 1863 by setting aside the last Thursday of that November. The Thanksgiving Proclamation issued by Lincoln at that time was remarkable, not only for its strong religious content, but also for its timing. It was delivered in the midst of the darkest days of the Civil War, after the Union had lost multiple battles in the first 3 years of that conflict. Yet despite those dark circumstances, Lincoln called Americans to give thanks. He wrote, "The year that is drawing towards its close has been filled with the blessings of fruitful fields and healthful skies. To these bounties, which are so constantly enjoyed that we are prone to forget the source from which they come, others have been added, which are of so extraordinary nature that they cannot fail to penetrate and soften even the heart which is habitually insensible to the ever-watchful providence of Almighty God." He ends by saying, "No human counsel hath thus devised, nor hath any mortal hand worked out these great things. They are the gracious gifts of the Most High God, who, while dealing with us in anger for our sins, hath nevertheless remembered mercy." Well, here's one of his quotes: "These bounties, which are so constantly enjoyed, that we are prone to forget the source from which they come." I'm not going to quote all the presidents. Over the next 75 years, following Lincoln's Thanksgiving Proclamation, presidents faithfully followed his precedent, annually declaring a National Thanksgiving Day. The date, however, of the celebrations varied widely from proclamation to proclamation, until this man came to be president. Franklin Delano Roosevelt set the precedent for celebrating Thanksgiving on the fourth Thursday of each November. And in 1941, Congress permanently established that day as the National Thanksgiving Holiday. Well, Roosevelt, 1944, he writes, "To the end that we may bear more earnest witness to our gratitude to Almighty God, I suggest a nationwide reading of the Holy Scriptures during the period from Thanksgiving Day to Christmas. Let every man of every creed go to his own version of the Scriptures for a renewed and strengthening contact with those eternal truths and majestic principles which have inspired such measure of greatness as this nation has achieved." And then he made his proclamation. I won't read it all, but it says, "Now therefore, I, Franklin D. Roosevelt, President of the United States of America, in consonance with a joint resolution of the Congress, approved December 26, 1941, do hereby proclaim Thursday, the 23rd day of November, 1944, a day of national thanksgiving, and I call upon the people of the United States to observe it by bending every effort to hasten the day of final victory." Now think, they're in the middle of a world war. "And by offering to God our devout gratitude for his goodness to us and to our men." 1988, just one more, Ronald Reagan. "Thanksgiving Day summons every American to pause in the midst of activity, however necessary and valuable, to give simple and humble thanks to God. This gracious gratitude is the service of which Washington spoke." George Washington. "It is a service that opens our hearts to one another as members of a single family gathered around the bounteous table of God's creation. The images of the Thanksgiving celebrations at America's earliest settlement of Pilgrim and Iroquois Confederacy assembled in festive friendship resonate with even greater power in our own day. People from every race and culture and creed on the face of the earth now inhabit this land. Their presence illuminates the basic yearning for freedom, peace, and prosperity that has always been the spirit of the New World. The blessings that are ours must be understood as the gift of a loving God whose greatest gift is healing. Let us join then with the psalmist of old," Reagan says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing praises to him, tell of all his wonderful works, glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Now therefore, I, Ronald Reagan, President of the United States, do hereby proclaim Thursday, November 24th, 1988, as a national day of thanksgiving, and I call upon the citizens of this great nation to gather together in homes and places of worship on that day to affirm by their prayers and their gratitude the many blessings of God that he has bestowed upon us." It's not just about food. In all of these presidents, all the way from the beginning of our country, it's not just about eating. Not just about watching the Dallas Cowboys lose another football game. Or whoever's playing, I don't even know who's playing. But it's about offering thanks to Almighty God in prayer, in gratitude for the many blessings he has bestowed. As Americans continue to give thanks always for all things, as Ephesians 5:20 says. Our Thanksgiving celebration should include reflections on all the reasons to be truly thankful to God for his many blessings. Perhaps the four items that George Washington mentioned in that first proclamation in 1789 should be the basis of our Thanksgiving commemoration this week. First, acknowledge the providence of Almighty God. Obey his will. Be grateful for his benefits and humbly implore his protection and his favor. Can't go wrong with those four, I don't believe. Let me conclude with a little story. About a pastor on vacation. Occasionally, pastors get vacations. Pastor Rittenhouse and his family were on vacation. True story. They were riding along in their automobile. They were going in one direction. A car was coming toward them in the other direction, and it had a suitcase on top, and the suitcase fell off into the road. Pastor Rittenhouse, conscientious pastor as he is, stopped his car, went over, picked up the suitcase, and turned around to try to find the other car, but it was too late. So eventually they opened the suitcase. It was already somewhat broken, and they went through it to try to find an address. They couldn't find any address, but they found a gold medal. This gold medal piece was inscribed this way. It said, given to Otis Simpson at his retirement by the Portland Cement Company. Otis Simpson, we know who the suitcase belonged to. So they contacted the Portland Cement Company, and after some investigation, they traced him down. They found his address. So they wrote him a letter, and they said, we have your suitcase. We found it. We want to return it to you. He wrote them back and said, I don't want the suitcase. I don't want the stuff that was in it. But all that stuff's trivial, but I want the gold piece. Would you please return it to me? It's my most precious possession. Well, a $20 gold piece given to Otis Simpson upon his retirement from Portland Cement Company, his most prized possession. They sent it back to him, but Pastor Rittenhouse, being a dutiful pastor, wrote him a letter. He said, Dear Mr. Simpson, I'm sending you this, but you mentioned that it was your most precious possession. May I be bold enough to tell you my personal, most precious possession? And he shared with Otis his relationship with Jesus Christ and explained to him how he could know Jesus Christ as his personal Savior and Lord. A whole year goes by. A year later, on the anniversary of that day, Pastor Rittenhouse got a letter from Otis Simpson, and it contained the $20 gold piece, the very same one. He said, I'm giving you back this little piece to keep, he said, because it's no longer my most precious possession. Now we've become active members of a Bible preaching church, and I want you to know, sir, Jesus Christ is my most precious possession. Incredible. True story. Somebody coming to faith, having lost their suitcase and their most precious possession, and yet coming to fact to realize that Jesus is our God. He's the one that gives us the blessings that we enjoy, that our nation enjoys. This coming Thanksgiving, I hope and pray that you and your family and my family will focus our thoughts on the Lord Jesus, on his benevolence toward all of us. And pray for peace. Pray for clear direction for the future. Pray for our incoming president and the Congress and all of the new cabinet appointments. Pray for peace in our country. Pray most of all that the Lord Jesus would become our most precious possession, the most precious possession of each one of our family members as well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness, for your grace. Thank you for the United States of America, obviously founded in your providence, in your sovereignty. We ask that you would not spit us out of your mouth, that you would encourage our hearts, that you would bless us in the days coming, that we might walk with you, honor you, serve you faithfully, pray diligently, fast and pray when necessary. Father, we pray that the Lord Jesus Christ would become the most precious possession of each one of us, each one of our family members, and of our nation. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.